beyond compare. And again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that you would enable me this evening to glorify you as I preach your word. I pray that I might be true to you, true to your word, that we might truly see that you are beyond compare. You are incomparable. And we commit it to you. We think of this news we just shared with the folks and how quickly things are changing and winding down, coming to an end there in Colombia in just a few short days. Pino and Rosa are going to be gone. Bob and Pat are going to be gone. And that translation work for which we prayed so long, that will be completed as far as having to be down there. Anything that's left to be done can be completed via the internet from the comfort of their own living room at home. And we just thank you and praise you, Lord. We wait on you. In your name we pray. Amen. I would invite you to turn with me to Psalm 135. Psalm 135. I want to start at verse 5, and we're going to read the whole psalm then. Psalm 135, beginning at verse 5. For I know, hey, that's our topic, isn't it? Things we know. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven, and in the earth, and in the sea, and all deep places. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasuries. Who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast? Who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants? Who smote great nations and slew mighty kings? Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land for an heritage, and heritage unto Israel his people. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge his people, and he will repent himself concerning his servants. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouth. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. As we look at these verses, I want us to see the basis of the psalmist's words of praise concerning our God. First thing that I want us to look at is his statements in verse 5. His statements in verse 5. I know that the Lord is great. That's the first statement he makes. or A, if you like to use letters there. As we think of this truth, I know that the Lord is great. Is this the only place we find such a concept, such a thought? No, not really. I want to just take you on a little trip here. And if you can keep up, fine. If not, just jot the references down. In Psalm 89, verse 6, the psalmist said, "For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord?" And the answer is, No one. Cat's got all of your tongues. Psalm 77, verse 13 says, "Who is so great a God as our God?" And the answer is, there isn't any. In Psalm 145, verse 3, the psalmist said this, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." Really, mankind is without words to describe the greatness of our God. The prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 40, verse 18 and verse 25, said this, similar yet slightly different in these two verses. In 40, verse 18, he said, "To whom will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare unto him?" Verse 25, the Lord now is speaking, and he says, "To whom will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One?" Well, as we think of our psalm that we're looking at this evening, we think of the fact that the psalmist has made some statements here. We've seen that first one, great. I know that the Lord is great. But the second statement, or B here in this fifth verse, and that our Lord is above all gods. Above all gods. Again, do we have anything else to support this? We sure do. Psalm 95, verse 3 tells us this. The Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Psalm 96, verse 4 and 5. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Stop and think about that. How many gods are worshipped by the nations of the world's people? Pardon? Countless. Countless. There's tons and tons. This country has its God. This village in the jungle has its God. This nation has its God. This group, this nationality of people, they have their God that they worship. And yet the psalmist says, the Lord is great. He's to be feared above all gods. And what is the outstanding difference. All the gods of the nations are what? They're just idols. Is an idol anything to be afraid of? Can it do anything? But boy, people that are bound in darkness and led to believe that they need to worship that idol, their lives revolve around the fear they have of that idol, aren't they? But the psalmist says, he's to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations, they're nothing but idols. But the Lord, He made the heavens. Bottom line is, who's to be feared? Our God. Who is the great one? Our God. Psalm 97, verse 9. Thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. We've seen verses that support His greatness. I've shared with you verses that supported and taught the truth. He is above all gods. I'd like to just give you a couple of references where we see those two truths combined, just like in our text verse here. The greatness and above all gods. For instance, in Psalm 86, verses 8 through 10, the psalmist said, among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. All the nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name, for thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. That's our text. Psalm 135, verse 5. For I know that the Lord is great. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17. As Moses was leading the people toward the promised land, we find here in that 17th verse of Deuteronomy 10, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. Oh, by the way, what do you mean terrible? Why did he use that word? What it simply means is you do wonders. You're a mighty God and you do wonders. In the prayer that is recorded that Solomon uttered in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 23, at the dedication of the temple, listen to what Solomon said, how he praised and glorified the name of the Lord in that dedicatory prayer. He said in 1 Kings 8, 23, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepeth covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. Having made these statements regarding the greatness of the Lord in verse 5, we find the psalmist cited next, number 2 for you note takers, specifics in verses 6 through 12. Specifics, you're a great God, you're the greatest God. But in verses 6 through 12, he's going to give us some specifics that we can put our finger on. A, in verses 6 and 7, he makes reference to God's greatness in his wonders in creation. His wonders of creation. Verse 6, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas, and all deep places. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasuries. In Psalm 115, verse 3, the psalmist said this, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Specifics in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 12, we see these words. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and stretched out the heavens by his discretion or understanding. That's a good verse. Power, wisdom, understanding. Our God. Well, we see as we think of these specifics that the psalmist is referring to here, he's made reference, he's done whatever, and we know we could have gone back to the book of Genesis, but we're well familiar with that. And God said, and it was, and God said, and it was, and God said, and it was. That's our God. But let's move on. B, here's another specific. In verses 8 and 9, the psalmist refers to the deliverance to his own people. Deliverance to his own people. In verse 8, who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast? Who sent tokens, signs, that's what that is, wonders into the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his servants. Some of the most enjoyable reading that I can think of in the Word of God, and I have known of it as far back as I can remember, is the chapters in the book of Exodus, when God is using Moses and Aaron to deliver the people out of the land of Egypt. I never get tired of reading of those signs and wonders. I try to use my imagination. I think how exciting that must have been for God's people to see that. To take, for instance, a handful of dust, and Moses was instructed to do that, and toss that dust into the wind, and it became lice. How many of you would like to have lice? Kind of we kind of start thinking already, don't we? Things like that. But how'd God do that? He's God. Divided the land. I think of that time when there were 3 days of darkness, and it said it was a darkness that was so dark you could feel it. That was in the land of Egypt. But guess what? Where God's people were, they didn't lack any light. God had divided. We think of the hail. Stones large enough that Moses said, you better get out of the field, because it said that those that ignored what the Lord had said, the stones were so large, the hailstones killed them, and it killed their poor animals that they did not care enough for to put in barns or in caves or in places of shelter. But not God's people. Wonders in the midst of you, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and his servants. That's only 3 or 4 of the 10. Wouldn't it have been something to have seen it? Perhaps the most favorite would have been the frogs. Probably would have been the frogs. Everybody likes them. They're smooth. They hop when you least expect them to. You're just reaching out for them and off they go. And it tells us that those frogs were everywhere. Everywhere. It was in their food. It was in their ovens. It was on their tables. They even got to sleep with frogs in their beds. As we think of what's the psalmist talking about here, he is giving certain specifics about the greatness of our God. He cited creation. God, he's done whatever he's wanted to do out there in the universe. And he has delivered his own people. See, notice his occupation. The occupation, what do you mean occupation? He enabled his people to occupy the land. That's what I'm getting at. Look at verses 10 through 12. Who smote great nations, slew mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, all the kingdoms of Canaan, all the kingdoms of Canaan. With regard to that, let me just take you back. Jot this down. Don't turn to it. Joshua chapter 12, verse 7 tells us this. And these are the kings of the country which Joshua and the children of Israel smote on this side Jordan on the west. Remember, 2.5 of the tribes had chosen to stay on the east side of the Jordan River. Joshua took the remaining tribes across, and there was the whole promised land for them to conquer. And it says, these are the kings on the west side which Joshua and the children of Israel smote from Baal-Gad in the valley of Lebanon, even unto Mount Halak, which goes up to Seir, which Joshua gave unto the tribes of Israel. Sorry about that, my Bible closed. Don't you love it? which Joshua gave unto the tribes of Israel for a possession according to their divisions. And then it begins to list, starting at verse 8, in the mountains, in the valleys, in the plains, in the springs, in the wilderness, in the south country, the area of the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, and any other ites there might have been. We drop our eyes down to verse 24. And it mentions, because it lists every one of the kings which they conquered in those lands. Do you know how many? The king of Tirzah, one. All the kings, 30 and 1. That was while Joshua was still alive. Chapter 13, the very next verse, it says, now Joshua was old. And here, what's the point? We've seen here that the Lord gave their land for a heritage unto Israel, his people. We've already gotten the record here in Joshua chapter 12 of them conquering 31 kings and taking over their land that God gave to their people. That's not all, because the next verse says, Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This is the land that yet remaineth, and it begins to list that. The whole point is, after Joshua had delivered all of these lands to them, there was still so much more. Well, it's too bad they didn't get it, right? They got it. They got it. And that's the point here in our text tonight. The Lord gave their land for a heritage, and heritage unto Israel, his people, verse 12 says. All the kingdoms, and he gave their land to his people, just like he said he would. Psalm 78, verse 55, tells us this. It says, he cast out the heathen before them and divided an inheritance by line and made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. God's faithfulness, beyond compare. Our God is great, the psalmist said. And he's above all gods. And as we looked at this, it's as though he said, let me give you some specifics. But we move on as the psalmist cites number 3, the superiority of our God in verses 15 through 18. The superiority of our God. And in these verses, he talks about the useless, lifeless, powerless idols that are so widely worshiped. Jeremiah chapter 10, let me just read it for you, verses 3 through 6. The customs of the people are vain. For one cuts a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but they speak not. They must needs be born. Somebody's got to carry them. Why? Because they're lifeless. they cannot go. Jeremiah says, be not afraid of them. They cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, you are great, and your name is great in might. As we look at our text here, I want to just call your attention to some comparisons as the psalmist talks about the superiority of our God. I chose the three things that he made reference to in verses 15 through 18. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. The first thing he mentions here in verse 16 is, they have mouths, but they speak not. What about our God? I just jotted down some references. Note takers, just jot down Genesis 8:15. And God spake unto Noah. He talked to him. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 2, God spoke unto Moses. Their gods, they have mouths. Oh, yeah. They're sure to put them on those idols. There they've, boy, they really spend a lot of time on those lips and everything. They've got mouths, but they can't speak. In Deuteronomy 1:9, the Lord our God spoke unto us. Whose God is better? Theirs or ours? Who's the real God? Who's the true God? They have mouths. They don't fail to put mouths on these idols. But let's move on here. All right, they have mouths, but they speak not. What about eyes? They have eyes. We make sure we put eyes on them, but they see not. But what about our Lord? In Psalm 33, verse 18, it tells us, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. He's watching. He's watching. In Psalm 94, verse 9, we see these words. It says, he that planted the ear, shall he not hear? And he that formed the eye, shall he not see? 2 Chronicles 16:9, of oft quoted verse, and just the first part of that verse, 2 Chronicles 16:9a, for the eyes of the Lord do what? They run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. In Proverbs 15:3, we see here, it tells us, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Well, it's no wonder the psalmist said, our God is great. And not only is he great, but we find here, it tells us that our Lord is above all the gods. Why are you saying that? Because they have mouths, but they can't talk. They have eyes, but they can't see. And here in verse 17, they have ears, but they hear not. In Psalm 34, verse 15, it tells us the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. You say, does our God really hear when we pray? You tell me. He listens. He hears. Psalm 130, verses 1 and 2. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 27, it tells us this. It says, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Well, what do we call this tonight? Beyond compare. Can you see what David had in mind? As we think of this 135th Psalm, as we look at what have we seen tonight that we know that the Lord is great and our Lord is above all gods. We've seen certain specifics. We've seen examples of superiority. Paul summarized it for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, when Paul said this. He said, for though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but unto us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. There's none to compare with our God. What a marvelous thing to know. And let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Father, thank you for this psalm. Thank you for what we could see. Thank you for the truth that the psalmist highlighted. Thank you for the instances. Thank you for the support that we found elsewhere in Scripture. It's not just found in one place, but throughout the Scriptures, your greatness. Lord, may this not just be facts in our heads, but may it be truth in our hearts. May we take to heart what this means to us. We who can call you our own God, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, incomparable, none like you. We thank you, we praise you. Take us safely to our homes. In your name I pray. Amen.